Here we go live.
Once again, when you hear that original music, it's time for Reflections in the Dark here on Firefall Talk Radio, broadcasting live on Spreaker.com. You can listen to it live, archive, download to listen. Also, we are still on the Blog Talk Radio site as well as iTunes. We are glad to be here. We're going to do something interesting tonight. You know, everybody's doing these origin movies and origins of various different things, and we're talking origins tonight. And speaking of origins, hey Joe, hey Joe, woo! Did Joe's a drone, everybody?
Oranges, all right, oranges. So.
Florida oranges. We're selling them. We have cases for sale. No, origins.
Origins of Reflections in the Dark. And it's good to be here. And I'm happy I'm here. And I am looking forward to tonight's show. Not that I don't look forward to the other shows, but I think tonight is definitely one of those things that's long overdue. And Richard, tell us what we will be doing.
Well, we will be discussing the origins of just everything. You know, we haven't done this in a while. We've covered these topics. We've gotten serious whenever we can be serious. And I just figured tonight we would chat. And I think what inspired it was that it's 10 years ago this month that I made my first trip to Rhode Island to meet you and the guys that used to be teammates with after we were introduced by Patrick Herron.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's when you think about it, it is the 10th year, you know, the anniversary. It is. And I would love to even find out the exact month and then make that month the SRT month where we just kind of
SRT officially started July of 2007 in Woodbury, but my first trip up to Rhode Island was in March of 2007.
Wow. So we are in that month. So
boy, nothing gets past you. I'm glad, man.
I didn't think it was being March. I just, for some reason, I was thinking more in the summertime, but you're right. So it's even more fitting to make this month a dedication to the 10th anniversary of SRT. And I do remember when you came down and you know, we had gone over another investigator's house, and you know, we just kind of started tweaking things, and then you sat down and did a little Bible study, and we're all kind of like feeling each other out and what direction that we're going to go and what we could all bring to the table. And I know you did some, if I remember as well, you did some like interviews and some filming.
Yeah, I
and
have that video somewhere. I'd have to find that. Yeah, I came up, Patrick. First, I wrote him the vision I had about the angel. And I told him what I was doing and my background. And he said, you know, there's some guys you need to meet up in Rhode Island. And then he hooked us up on a conference call. We had a couple of conference calls. And then we just booked the flight up. And you were nice enough to put me up in your home. And we just hung out together for 3 or 4 days. We had a Bible study. Mm. We spent some time praying together and seeing if we were going to be able to work together.
Right. I mean, that's how it all went down. I mean, and it was nice because if I remember, was it that first time where I took you into Providence and introduced you to the Wieners? Is that right? Remember we had the New York system style right. wieners, which were like a hot dog type thing, or and it had all the Hamburg stuff on it, and just I think we did a lot of eating.
We did a lot of eating, none of which I could do today, that's for sure.
We definitely did a lot of eating, but it was really good because even like with Patty, you know, that was like coming right on when I was hosting kind of like my own little thing I was mm-hmm. doing, Strange Encounters, and I had Patty on, and we had him on for like, just to kill time, I think it was Thanksgiving, and we had him on for like 2 hours. We were just talking back and forth, and, you know, I always remember him saying, you know, I'd like to do what you guys do, you know, but I write about it, and then you guys are the real deals that go out there and actually see these things. And then when I got, you know, when you had emailed me as well, we started talking about it. I'm like, hey, you know what? There are people out there. And here was – this was the crazy part of it all. Prior to that, you know, I had met another pastor out in Ohio, as you know, and that was the whole thing with WCAN Radio and their phenomenon show. And, you know, they took it to a little bit of understanding how the paranormal was or their interpretation, his interpretation of how he kind of was doing, you know, trying to incorporate, you know, what was going on with the paranormal as opposed to what was happening with scripture and things like that. But, you know, it wasn't so much on the case type thing or the scientific stuff. It was more of the biblical stuff and trying to match the two. So that was, for me, the first time that I started to see the connection that they can be intertwined together. Then, after that, you know, and then meeting you, and then taking it to an entirely different level, because you did kind of fuse both of them, but it always lined up with scripture. So it wasn't that the motives were just, hey, look, this is what's going on. This is what's happening. And these are the reasons why they're happening. So when you sat down, we did the Bible studies. We started, you know, really finding out scripture and other little books and the non-canonized books. And I'm like, you know something, there's a big connection here. And prior to that, what was interesting for me is, you know, growing up in Warwick and knowing like some of the guys from TAPS, you don't think that it's almost like you're programmed to believe when you're involved in the ghost hunting type of aspect, you don't really equate anything spiritual. You kind of do it more of on a skeptic way, and everything is so fascinating and new, you don't realize where there's a connection. So when you have somebody that comes in on the spiritual side and it starts to learn on the scientific and equipment, then you're like, wow, this is what I was missing. And I think that is where that's what had me hooked, like, okay, this guy knows what he's talking about. He has scripture to back up those things. And I think of all that we've learned now. But even then, there was a connection with some of the theories and beliefs that you had. It was just trying to get enough knowledge to put it all together and to have it, you know, sift through that sand to find those little gold nuggets. And we did during the course of those first few years, which were also a learning curve for us in many ways. And now you look at where we're at, and it's amazing, you know, how far we've come in 10 years.
You know, I remember writing Patty and then talking to him a couple of times before he introduced us. And, you know, his book, The Nephilim and the Pyramid of the Apocalypse, filled in a lot of blanks for me, set me down that road of finding more information and going through that period of time for me, early 2007, which is when this was, of, as I tell in my book, the Lord kind of downloaded all this information in me and then said, but you can't teach this until you understand it, which took me 3 years to do. But then getting out there and doing it, and it's just amazing how paths will cross for a reason and for a season. I, you know, unfortunately, I never got to meet Patty Patrick Heron face to face, even when he was here in South Florida for his cancer treatment. I told him I would go down there and pray for him, but then I don't know if he didn't want me to see him that way or if he didn't feel well enough. I never got the phone call, and then he went home and he died pretty quickly. So I never even got to meet him face to face. It was just one of those. I wrote him, he wrote me back, we chatted once, and then the next thing you know, he says, hey, you need to meet these guys up in Rhode Island. And then we talked. We had a bunch of conversations on that conference phone you used to have. And we talked and we prayed, and then I said, okay, I'm going to come up there. We need to meet face to face. And that's where it just kind of took off. And then out of that team of people, the only one left is you.
And that's the craziest. That to me, you know, I never could understand why then, you know. And then it made more sense after, like, okay, look, we have something going on. You have people that are taking, you know, some of us taking more of the biblical side, some of us going more of the parapsychology way, we'll just say, for lack of a better word, you know, going more in the secular aspect of investigations, you know. And then it was like, okay, who's going to make it? Who's going to receive it and want to go further into it? You know, where is that line going to draw? Because, you know, you get a group of 3, 4, 5 people, say, it all sounds good at first and anything in the beginning. And then people start to drop off, or people have different ways that they're venturing in. So you always wonder how it's going to work out. And the craziest thing is nobody made it. It was like,
but you see, that's not unusual, because having been in ministry for as long as I have, when I was at the church in Tallahassee, and we would do the warfare and we would get out there and confront these things, it would start out with the crowd, because everybody wants to be a part of that. Everybody thinks it's dramatic and it's exciting and I want to see this, until they actually see it, until the spirits follow them home and they attack their family and their pets, and they go, oh, wait a second, this is a little more real than I was expecting. And then it's down to the same 2 or 3 people that were always there to begin with.
And that was always and that always confused me too, because you have everybody who is talking about signs and wonders and talking about wanting to see things and manifestations, and people saying that they're casting out demons and doing all that stuff. And it all does sound good, especially if you can be at a conference and you can speak all things and say these things and get a crowd or, you know, a group of people all fired up. It all sounds good on paper, you know, it looks good. But then you actually go into the cases, you actually witness a lot of stuff, some not beefed up like, obviously, you know, with the movies and the way it's portrayed there, but you start to hear voices, know that there are things that are speaking from, you know, another dimension, and you know it's real. It's not a movie, it's not made up, it's not hearsay. You're actually living through it live. You're taking pictures and you're connecting the dots and you're putting the story together. And those people that once talked about how that they were doing warfare, praying and all that stuff, they kind of fall off, and you wonder why they fall off. And you know, it's the funny part. I always thought they would fall off because they would say, well, you know something, this isn't the Lord, or this isn't what the Lord has for me, because I can't just go into houses and do that. That's kind of like divination, and that's all necromancing. And I would buy into a lot of those stories, because I'd be like, well, you know what, you're right, according to scripture, that is true. But I realized that, you know what, they were really scared, because they, I don't know if they quite believed everything that they were saying and preaching. Like, it's like this. It's like you telling me, Richard, if you got into a fight or somebody did this, you would not let that happen to you or the person you were with, and you would definitely intervene and you'd kick somebody's butt if they came after you. And you could tell me all the things that you would do in that scenario. You would teach about it, you would educate people and prepare them. And then when push came to shove, you're in that arena, you turning around and saying, no, I can't do this. I'm too weak to do this. But I'm going to say that the Lord just doesn't want me to do it. Or I prayed about it. And it's just not. And I'm not saying people don't do those things and shouldn't listen to prayer. But I notice that people do hide behind that stuff when they don't want to face something. And I think that's what happened. There was the separation of the doers and the people who thought about doing it. And when push came to shove, an EVP or a pitcher scared them because they're like, wow, maybe half of them didn't even really truly believe it was to that extent until right. they seen it. And right. and I think that's the confusion.
You know, when you go back to that moment, and if you're on Spreaker listening and you have the chat room and you want to throw a question, if we can answer it, we will. When you go back to that moment, which was, for me, inspired by the ghost hunting thing happening, Taps, Ghost Hunters, Sci-Fi, 2004, by 2007, they're starting to peak. It's starting to take off. And I'd been watching it and very frustrated and very angry by the fact they wouldn't call things demons, they wouldn't cast them out, they wouldn't clean them out. They would come in and say, oh, yeah, you have a problem, here's the proof. And then my wife can tell you I'd be screaming at the TV screen, but they want help. They don't want you to tell them there's a problem. They want an answer to the problem. And that's how SRT, you know, was born. And it took some time to get there. But when you see within the church people that are supposed to be doing this, and they're not, part of me agrees with that. Not everybody's called to do this. But when you're getting called like I do from all over the country, all over the world, I can't find anybody to help me. Will you come help me? Well, I'm sorry. I'm not Bruce Wayne. Don't have the bank account. Would love to be able to just get on the jet and come there. Why can't you find any help? Well, the churches don't deal with it, or they don't want to deal with it, or the pastor used to deal with it, but now he's afraid. And I'm, all right, but it's getting worse, and it's only going to get worse. And we're living in a time now, 10 years later, where these things are jacked up and they're doing stuff that they didn't do before. But, you know, to backtrack a little here, if we really want to talk origins, you and I, and we've mentioned this before, but many of you haven't heard it, we were born into doing this. This wasn't something we chose. It was something that chose us.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, whether our motives at that point or my motive was on the up and up, you know, growing up and being fascinated by a lot of the stuff and seeing things and witnessing things and just taking a whole different realm into the dark arts and the enchantments and the witches and just all that stuff was fascinating to us or to myself at that point. You know, and I never understood why. What's the whole purpose of this? You know, okay, great. You know, I'm intrigued. I'm enchanted. It's something. And but why? What is the whole purpose of it? And then when you start to link it all up, and things are happening in your life, and you're saying, okay, look, I'm starting to see that there's something else going on here, and you still don't have the depth and understanding of it. At least I didn't. You know, it started with the whole Catholicism thing and then it just ventures off into different roads, different, you know, you take these, it's like you take these different routes and avenues and you kind of find different stuff to do and.
Did we lose you?
So you take these different avenues and you really don't understand why. And then it all makes sense one day. And you have somebody that comes along who has that answer or at least that direction. And that's the direction I think we were going at.
Are you okay?
Well, I don't even know what to say at this point. I lost my whole train of thought. I'm totally, but you get the gist of what I'm trying to say. You have you have a calling. You don't know it's a calling. You don't know what is drawing you to the supernatural. You try different ways of exercising that, whether it's through wizards or you know, witches or whatever, horror movies, whatever always kept you want to be drawn to it. You would hang into that arena because you felt it was your way of being connected. Casper, all those type of things that you like, you know, that it's intriguing and you never understand why until you get older and you're like, okay, there's a calling and I'm missing that calling. And then that person or those people start to come into your life who have influence to kind of help you along the way. And you're like, okay, now I see where I was supposed to go. And I've often wondered if I had listened and adhered to my calling, you know, many years ago, I might have eased a lot of my hardships and pain going through life because maybe I would have seen the light differently then. And unfortunately, I didn't have that guidance when I needed it. So either I could have found my calling a long time ago, you know, or maybe it had to go this way and the right divine timing to have it where we are now, you know, in that 10 years. Because think about it, in the 10 years, you learned so much and it all made sense. And if it took 30 years to get there, then you know what? Better late than never, because you can't take away those 10 years of knowledge and what we've learned with SRT.
Now, you being from that area, you knew a lot of those people before they became, quote, famous on TV. They were doing the whole paranormal investigation thing before you got sucked into it, right?
Yeah, that's really how it happened. So, as you know, and we talked about this a little bit earlier, you had Ed and Lorraine, and you had those people, you know, the Warrens here in New England for some of the big cases that they've done, the Harrisville case, the Amityville Horror, and so on and so forth. And they became those pioneers that would call them out to be demonic. And they would do the exorcisms and the prayers and all that stuff and incorporate some of the Catholicism with the paranormal. So their niche was, I'm going to bring the spiritual stuff into this investigation stuff, but, you know, everybody had different ways of doing it. They went through the church, you know, they went through doing those things and calling upon, you know, Archangel Michael and whatever they needed to do. That's where they were starting to do that. So later on, you had other groups that were like, okay, I don't know if I necessarily want to go the spiritual religious path of this. And why does every ghost have to be a demon? Why can't it be both? Or why isn't it just maybe human hauntings that we perceive is demonic? Because maybe that's just for the religious world out there. So now these other groups are saying, okay, they're coming out with saying that it's demonic. They're doing prayers, they're doing cleansings, fumigations, whatever they called it. I think they called it infestations back in those days. And then you've got the newer age people coming up and saying, I'm going to debunk all this and I'm going to take it through equipment and scientific stuff. And I'm going to go into that place that there's nothing wrong with it. And then I'm going to try to either disprove it or find something. And if I find something, I'm going to tell about it. People started receiving that better because it wasn't an in-your-face religious thing of devil and God and all that, you know, 80s, 70s, and 80s stuff that they thought was just a lot of dogma. And they take it more in a secular approach. And guess what? It was received better only for the mere fact is you're taking it from the scientific. There is no religious beliefs that need to be involved. You're not going there expecting something or saying that you know what it is. You're going to bring your equipment. You're going to try to assess it. And people said, hey, you know what? I want to know if my house is haunted. Nobody's going to be coming in throwing all sorts of religious stuff at me. I want to have guys come in, take pictures, do audios, talk to me about it, and explain to me scientifically what is going on and how this is happening. And that's where I believe TAPS and all those groups started coming around saying, I've got a niche. I'm going to go with this angle with it. And it was received. Then all of a sudden, everybody wanted to believe that their house was haunted, and they would call on, you know, certain groups in the area, especially in New England. And then 10 cases, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 cases, Sci-Fi gets a whole look on this and say, oh, I love these guys because they're not saying it's haunted. They really don't believe it's haunted at all. But they're going to go in there and try to debunk what's happening. And maybe in the course of debunking, they might find something. I like that. I like that pitch. And that pitch worked. And then everything after that, everybody wanted to be like TAPS. They wanted to go into that way. So now everybody was forming their groups. Everybody was buying cameras and little recorders and going to do their things. And like, this is great. This has nothing to do with anything demonic. This, they're not demons in the houses. This is just all either residual, it can be explained, or there is some sort of disembodied voice that is from another world. And if I can get that, and I can get that orb, and orbs were huge back then. Everybody said, wow, they got this glowing looking orb and this little tiny voice. They thought they hit the jackpot. And then, of course, you know, everything escalated from there. And now it's an oversaturated market that started with, I want to do something different than taking the spiritual approach, the prayer approach, the Roman ritual, the church. I want to eliminate them. I want to go more new age and secular into it. And people will buy it. And they did.
It was based on, any reality show is really not based on the topic they cover. It's based on the personalities of the people. That's what gets you to tune back in. And they had the various characters. But by 2006, I think it was 2007, the first couple of years, they were debunking everything. And then I know from another source that Sci-Fi sat him down and said, we need some action, we need some evidence, we need some real stuff here because this has gotten very boring, because they were very militant about debunking everybody. And then they started to get some real, you know, other cases, but I remember the one that I saw. It was a haunting where this thing was tormenting the child, and they refused to call it a demon. Now, one of the members of the team did, not too long after she was no longer on the show. She called it out for what it was. And then at the end, they do their evidence analysis. Well, I don't think you have anything to worry about. And I'm like, what? Okay, some of these things, maybe not. But this one in particular, you do. You do have something to worry about. And that was the, you know, for me, the beginning of, there has to be an alternative response. Little did we know, they didn't really want an alternative response. Of course, now they want the demon stuff, but they want it from their perspective, and we're not willing to play that game, so we're just going to get the ball and play our own game. But when you go back to it, when you go back to the crib, when you go back to your earliest paranormal experience, and you think about it, if you start to connect the dots, as you say, and you follow it along, you begin to realize that these breadcrumbs were leading you to a place which would be a cross in the road. Are you going to do this for the kingdom of God and help people, or are you going to do it for fame and fortune and the seminars and the paracons and all that stuff? When you get to that fork in the road, you have to pick who you're going to serve. And that's the tough part, because unfortunately, the money's not on the side of helping people and serving the kingdom. The money's on the side of selling out.
Absolutely, it was, and I got caught into that on a couple of different occasions because, look, hey, for me, you know, sitting there watching the Ghost Hunters for the first time, I got to tell you, the first thing I thought, and this is before, obviously, you and I knew each other, I had known Jason from, you know, from prior and growing up, so to see him on there, and I'm like, wow, this is a local person from my community who is on the Sci-Fi Channel. And he's going around into houses, assessing if they're haunted. I was fascinated by snapping cameras and doing all this stuff. And I'm like, wow, that is really – it hit me. And then after that, I'm like, wait a minute. Let me reel this back in a bit. it's all great, it all sounds good, but what about the spiritual stuff? What about the things that I learned about even prior to that? I know better to know that there's more going on than just debunking a place and taking pictures. So I got swooped into it, and the first thing I said is, somebody's got to come up with a group that does this on a Christian aspect. And I remember, silly, it was funny that I came up with this concept of chaos. I says, maybe I'm going to have a group and I'm going to call it Chaos. And it's like, okay, what's chaos? And I'm like, well, it's like Christians helping all opposing Satan, or some type of thing that I was thinking of. I was trying to find a niche into saying, look, it, we've got to go back to what it really is, because anything that I've experienced has always been dark in nature. I don't think it was ever just a ghostly type of thing. It always was dark in nature. So there was the pull between me wanting to get out there and have a group and be able to do those things on a secular way just to get myself out there. But then I always felt the spiritual tug of saying, but I know better. Even with my little knowledge of what was going on, I still knew enough to know that there is an evil force. And based upon the things that I went through as a child, and I know better than that. And I'm like, I'm teeter-tottering onto both sides here. You know, I want this, but I want to do this, and I can't do both. And I just couldn't quite put the puzzle together, you know. And SRT kind of delivered me out of doing that, because I'm like, you can do both. Granted, you're not going to probably do as many cases as you would. You're not going to be on TV. You're not going to do all those things, but every time you go do a case, you're doing it to help the person. All you should care about is them being healed and that house not having craziness and everything that we needed to do. I'm like, that should matter. But every so often you feel the tug, or you go on a television show, or you have the opportunity to tell your story, and then you find out that they twist it. So it really was a tough thing. And I tried to do a trial run, as you know, with the Sally House, by making the connection to go out there and take a couple of people who, you know, were religious in nature, as you know, who were Christians, and then I want to get the skeptic and I want to get the doctor and I want to go in there and do this. I had the right idea. I just didn't have the right proper execution or the training and the knowledge to understand what I was doing and how it would affect me. But I will say this, that case, all the way till now to 10 years, has made me understand a lot of things, has made me go through a lot of things, some good, some bad, put me in darker places, had me struggling for a long time with my faith and beliefs and just some of the things that I've experienced. But yet, as we approach 10 years now, as we're circling, coming full circle back, it's still going back to the origin,
right,
of where it all began. Except then my motives were to go there and help the people, absolutely. But you know, deep down that there was the humanistic side that was like, well, if I can go do this, maybe I'll get, you know, a contract to do a television show. Right. So you always got swooped into fame's deception, and that's how I title it. It was fame's deception of what was happening as opposed to what was really going on behind the scenes.
And most guys don't have, like, my background in the industry, knowing that you're never going to do what you want. If a studio or a network is paying your way, you jump through their hoops. And even if they say, oh, yeah, we want you to do that, you'll find out they have final say on the edit. And they can put on whatever they want. They can do whatever they want. They can force you to take people with you that you don't really want to go. My problem with a lot of the shows I've seen over the years, even from supposed Christians, people that we've had on the show, They bring along psychics, they mediums, they bring along the pagan element, and all these things. And if you're listening and you're okay with that, well, that and the kingdom of God does not mesh. You cannot take things that were forbidden because they came out of Canaan, they came out of the land of the fallen, they came out of the land of people that were bred and trained by the fallen watchers on Mount Hermon. You can't take their religious magic and mumbo-jumbo that traces back to Babylon and Mesopotamia and then add it to the biblical perspective, which we don't do. We're pretty clear about how we do it, which is why our results are so staggeringly different than anybody else. But it still comes that, well, I want to pay my bills, and it would be great to have the trips funded, and we could go everywhere. And so, okay, we'll try to find a deal. Thankfully, I have a background. I know how the contracts are written, and I realized when it comes signing day and you read the final print, it's never what they said. So you have to pick, am I going to do this for the right reasons for purity, or am I going to go down that road? And we've stayed pure in our intentions, and we've experienced things that I don't think anybody else have. But when you look at it, all of us in our own way, even all the other people on paranormal TV, everybody's working out their own scenario. Some people more than others. There are some people that get a group together, somehow get a show, and when you're watching them, you realize you can't help them because you can't help yourself. And you're really looking for your own answers in the middle of their problems. And, of course, we know that the particular people and team I'm mentioning put one girl in a hospital, wreaked havoc along the way, and then, of course, the show got canceled. In doing research on these shows, I don't think we realize that a lot of the stuff we see on TV is repeated over and over and over. Most of those shows got one season, two seasons if they're lucky. Shows like Ghost Hunters and Ghost Adventures and some of the others that have gone 9, 10, 12, 14 years, whatever, 13 years, that's rare. Most everybody else is one or two and gone.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, going back to the whole Sally House thing, is that I remember after we did all that filming, I was in, and here's the craziest part, and this is where I started reeling it back, sitting in my room, and I wrote a book about it called Sally House Exposing the Beast Within. It was like 100 pages on just everything wrong we did in that case. And I remember sitting in my bed and I'm saying, this isn't going to get blessed. Nothing is going to come about this. I went in with the intentions of wanting to help people, but in the end, I got still mesmerized about the interviews and the news and all this stuff to want to have my own show. And I'm like, just for those reasons, I know it's not going to be blessed. And then I remember when the producer called me up, and after about a couple of months later and editing the trailers and doing all that, those things, he said, I don't think it's going to work. And I says, why? Because of the religious aspect of things. Nobody wants that. It's not going to work. Nobody's going to want to see two people, you know, a couple of people go in the houses and get these things out, call them demonic, do all that type of stuff. It's not going to sell. So I, frustrated, I canned the whole project at that point. Like I said, okay, I'm going to just walk away for a bit. And I'll never forget it. And this is where it all really made me mad. About a few months after that, I'm sitting home. I'm watching this new show called Paranormal State, and it has the group going in there, and what are they doing? They're doing blessings. They have the demonologist, you know, Keith Johnson on there, and I'm like, oh my goodness, they made it. They did exactly what I was hoping to do at that point. You know, when I'm seeing that, I'm saying, what do you mean there's no demonic aspect of things? These guys did it. They got a show. I called the producer about 11 o'clock at night, and as soon as he knew it was me, he picked it up. He says, I know what you're going to say. And I remember yelling at him. I remember saying, I can't believe that we did this before, and because everybody was afraid to market it because it had the Christian aspect of it, you just kind of dropped it and just shelved it and let it go. And I remember yelling at him. I actually yelled at him and I says, you know what? This isn't going to work anymore. And that was it. And then, of course, everything domino affected with the people involved in the Sally House case. Things were going down. My son, everything. Just crazy things were happening. And I know a lot of it was linked to the Sally House. And I just kind of walked away from a bit. And that's when you had emailed me. And then I met the pastor out in Ohio. And then it started domino affecting. And all these things were happening. But then when I met you, it retweaked me to say, you know what? This isn't, I still got to pursue this. It's tough. It's not going to be easy for me because I have one foot in one side and one in the other. I'm walking a gray area, but I cannot give up on the spiritual aspect of things. I still believe that I am called to do this. I just don't know how to get there. But when I listened to you talking about all the stuff, well, guess what? It changed the dynamics of how Weebles wobble. And then I felt like, okay, I have hope.
I think we lost them.
So I had hope. I had to bow out for a few seconds. But you know what I'm trying to say? It's like every time I wanted to walk away, something would just bring me back into it to see that, okay, you know what? I can't give up. I have to persevere. What made SRT and this whole concept, and this is where I want to go, and this is what I will say on any documentary, on any show. You can think what you want about what ghosts are and demons are, and you can have your discrepancies. I could say that more of my stuff that I have witnessed, what I have journaled, what I have, is more verification that the demonic exists than spirits exist. Okay, so that's number one. Number two, the whole other thing is every time we had gone into a place, we always got evidence. We never spent hours and hours and hours in a place. We went through by way of prayer, and we got rid of whatever we needed to get rid of, and then we followed a pattern as to what was going on, that there were multiple spirits almost going to the various cases, so it became a link, a chain of a story, of a backstory that just can't be debunked. So I had got the two pieces of evidence that I needed to keep me going. We always produced evidence every single time. That's the key. We always produce evidence, and I have more verification of the demonic realm than the humanistic, human spirit realm. So what do I have more evidence of? It's the demonic. So
right.
On a physical evidential aspect, those are the two things I cannot debunk no matter what. So I know we're on the right path.
When you look at it, you have to put in what I call the God factor. You wanted to go someplace, and then he said, but this isn't my best for you, so I'm going to stop it. And then you see somebody else prosper from it, which I can tell you is very frustrating. But again, you have to think of, okay, what is the ultimate objective? Yes, it would be great, because I know how much these guys get paid every week on those shows, and I know how much they're making from the appearances. And you think about that, wow, it would be great to not have to worry about your bills and have a nice car and all the other stuff, but is that what this is about? No. In every case that we've taken that he has led to us has been unlike anything anybody's ever done before. Within an hour, we have more evidence than we can process or even share. And taking people along with us that are traditional investigators, they just got overwhelmed. I didn't sit here for 6 hours for an orb. They started popping from the minute you showed up. The voices started speaking. The intelligent words strung together, sentences, you know, calling you by name. This is different. The world needs to see this, but the truth is the world really doesn't want to see it, which is why now in the 10th anniversary, I think this is the time to be able to say, okay, you've seen all that. You like all that. Otherwise, there wouldn't have been, what did I figure out, 259 paranormal shows or documentaries since 1949, and every year there's more shows, and they regurgitate the same information. People are fascinated by the supernatural, but they've never been told the truth. And the truth is, as you said, it's demonic, it's fallen angelic, but it's only one source. It all traces back to one source, which gets us to the biblical perspective and the spiritual perspective that nobody wants to touch. Well, you don't want to alienate your audience. Well, I don't care. We're going to tell the truth, and we're going to let it fall where it may. And that's why a documentary is probably a better choice. We'll produce it ourselves. We'll shoot it professionally. We'll get it done and edited professionally. We'll market it. We'll put it into the film festivals and DVDs and Amazon and Netflix and iTunes or wherever, and let people figure it out for themselves. But when you begin to, as we've begun to do over these last couple of months, not just because of the development on the documentary, but on just looking at our lives and where we've come and the price we've paid for doing this and what we've learned and what we've seen, you know, and me having my sons along and all the stuff that our families have gone through because of us, this is a much bigger picture, which is why those people bail out. Why, you know, we've had people, that very first case in Woodbury, that one guy had a lamp thrown at him. He winds up with a TV show, what a piece of work he is. He had a lamp thrown at him and ran off the property. Another guy came, went home, and his son gets lifted off the air, the ground into the air by an unseen force and pinned to a wall. This isn't a joke. This is not a joke. And like you said, we have seen a string of a consistency of everywhere we've gone along the East Coast, we keep running into the same prints. We keep running into the same spirit. We keep getting the same pictures, but with different cameras. Therefore, it's not a camera anomaly. What's really going on here? Well, it's in the Bible. Genesis 6, Genesis 8, the land of Canaan, the fallen, Babylon, the gods. But we're the only ones that have proof. We're the only ones that have the documentation to show the world because, and I believe why this might be the time. All of those things are getting ready to manifest in this reality. If we can expose them before they do, then people will have a better chance of not being deceived.
You know, I totally agree with that. And, you know, when we talk about EVPs, listen, have you gotten any EVPs that just were spirits trying to make contact? It has never been anything good. Same thing for me. All the EVPs all the way to that growl at Dawn's has not been anything good. Right there should tell you there's a pattern going on. The evidence that we have captured and the famous picture in New Britain, nothing has ever really led to something human. Now, I will say this for something that has had me thinking for a while, you know, back at the Sally House, I do have specific pictures of orbs and some of them with faces that do appear humanistic in nature, but that doesn't mean that it was, and that doesn't mean that there wasn't more going on to those pictures. Like I said, the proof is in the evidence. Even if I was a guy or a person that wanted to believe that the demons don't exist and it's all, you know, inhuman, that it's all human, not inhuman, I can't say that because it would just be an opinion, only because most of the evidence that I have is dark in nature. So we have to base where the evidence, you know, is and what we have for facts. And that's where the facts lie. And doing the missions with SRT, we've always managed to get evidence. Now, here's the other thing. A lot of the stuff that we see are reality shows. you know, other than little documentaries or you know, dramatizations with shows like A Haunting and Haunted Case Files and all that stuff. Everything is basically a reality show, and they do various cases and investigations, and that's it. I think what we have is more of a connection. I guess what I'd say is, if we were to have not a reality show, but a television series, and we took the television series and we made it about a group of people who have been through all the same things and connect spirits who are following them in various cases and present the stuff that we have, it would be probably a 1, 2, 3 season television show that people would say, wow, this is good made up stuff. But none of it is made up. We have more we have more to support us of somebody making a television series about us than us doing a reality show about going to various cases, only because the stuff that we have, you would think, unless you knew us, were made up stuff, because this is the stuff that people would love to see in a new television series, and it just happens to be with us real.
Yeah, it goes beyond, you know, and I think that's why a lot of the stuff we tried to do wasn't allowed, because the documentary angle is the much cleaner, better angle. You do 2, 3, 4, 5, and however long it takes for the Lord to come back or for all hell literally to break loose. But more people will see it in one fell swoop. It will go out there more. It gives you more creative control. But the bottom line is there's something going on. There's something going on in the world. There's something going on in these cities. There's something going on in homes and lands and all these historical monuments that, yes, a lot of people teach on it. They do the seminars. They sell the DVDs. But none of them can go there and do what we do. Bring everything out into the open. Reveal who it really is. Get scientific documentation, pictures, video, audio, voices, whatever. And again, we don't interact with them except to confront them. And then they respond, because it is a fight. Sometimes we do hear voices crying out, you know, don't do this. You know, in Woodbury, that very first one, there were two male voices. One was why, as in why are you doing this? And the other one, once we got the actual EVP cleaned up from the original footage, was I wish you dead, Richard. Well, because I edited it wrong, that wasn't what we heard. And it took many years later to realize, wait a second, that voice sounds familiar. That's the same voice from New Britain. And that's the same voice from McCullough. And that's the same voice from every place we've been. Hey, what's going on here? Is there a bigger picture that nobody's telling? And I know that there is. We know that there is. But when you look at our origins, going back to the crib, going back to the mistakes we made, going back to the journeys down the dark paths into the darkness, me almost losing my soul, my family, everything, going in a way that was going to put me into the lake of fire eventually, Almighty God, my Heavenly Father, goes, no, I have something for you to do. I love you too much, so you can't go that way. You got to come here with me. And then we circle back, and here we are all these years later, a rough 10 years later, for everything that we've been through, to be in a moment in time, we get to show people the origins of the paranormal. We get to take them back to, hey, you really want to know what's going on here? You really want to know why that little demon looks like a child? It is a child. It's a child from before the flood. A child in a body that Almighty God did not create, that the fallen angels created. Because when you look at the fact that only 8 people survived a flood and millions of people covered the world, you have to figure out some of those people that died were children. But they were not children that were going to spend eternity with God, because they were bred by the fallen. Well, all those spirits have to do is jump through time, take on different clothing, different names, different this, different that. It may not only be a false identity, it may actually be something, a pre-flood antediluvian victim. But we then get to the question, and we're going to run out of time here, is why are they here? Why are they manifesting in this reality? We thought they all got put into hell. Why are they not in hell? Why are they not in the pit? Well, of course, we know the answer is not all of them got put into the pit. Some of them got left on earth for mankind to suffer because of their choices. But there's so much happening that TV doesn't want to tell you. Hollywood doesn't want to tell you. There's so many people that are hurting. We get the emails. We get the request, hey, can you come help me? And you can't help everybody. That's the first lesson in ministry. You can't help everybody. And the people you can help, you have to hope, you have to pray and have confirmation that it is your assignment. But I recently got an email from somebody, and they told me the whole situation, what was going on. So I sent back a series of questions that I always ask, and the answers I got told me that they're getting their answers from TV. Well, I laid rosary beads in the room, and I squirted the holy water in the air, and then I burned sage, and I smudged, and I did this, and I did that in all the rooms, and it's only gotten worse. Well, yeah, because you fed it. You didn't get rid of it. You fed it, but I understood where they got it, because that's what paranormal TV tells them to do.
And they all, not all of them, I shouldn't say that, but the majority all have the same cliche answers. Well, I feel a little cold draft, and every night at such and such time I get woken up, or I know I captured an orb. It's like they know the paranormal lingo.
Yeah, they know the lingo. Things.
They know what to say. And granted, listen, a lot of them are probably saying exactly what's happening, but because they're so, it's so programmed to think that those things are paranormal, then the placebo effect starts to take place. Wow, this is a little cold spot here. Sometimes it's just the house. Right. Maybe there's certain areas of the house that is right. A cold spot, but you watch these shows and it's going to take it to another level. You're going to say, I wonder if my house is haunted. Now you're calling your nearest group and they're coming over. And before you know it, you have an investigation done. And 95%, there's probably nothing going on in your house. But people want validation. They want to be able to tell their story and they want to feel important to know that they have somebody that's coming there with all this equipment to help them. Regardless whether something's going or not. So it brings them into the spotlight. It brings somebody who's looking to just talk to somebody. I mean, there's so many different ways that you know, we can view it.
Right.
They feel alone. And unfortunately, there are paranormal groups that want to go there and would love to sit there and bend your ear for an hour, 2 hours to tell you about their knowledge or what they believe it is, and most of the time it's not even that.
Yeah, and like I said, they just want somebody to care about them, and we do that with the best we can, but we don't jump and run, we don't do those things. We only take the cases that are our assignments. We get our marching orders from the captain of the host, from the king, and you know, there's so much more we could cover, but I think this was good. I think this gave people an idea, gave you stuff to think about. If you have questions, maybe we said something, go to supernaturalresponse.net, use the contact button. If it's for Joe, I'll forward it to him. He mentioned his book, The Sally House Exposed. I know you can find that at joecitrone.com. Is it still on Amazon, Joe?
It is still on, definitely still on Amazon.
Okay.
And, it's still selling and, surprisingly, but what I'd like to do is hopefully we'll have another story to tell, after this year. So
right.
I think what we're doing is great things. And I'm glad that, we've been together for 10 years and, I'm hoping that and praying that we'll be able to do more with what we've learned over the past 10.
Amen. You can go to supernaturalresponse.net. There's a link there for the Supernatural Battle. I would recommend just get the ebook. I'm in the process of rewriting it, revised and expanded. It will be much bigger. It'll be my final definitive response to spiritual warfare and the demonic. But my final definitive response is you must be born again. You must know whose side you're on. And you better be on the winning side, and that's the side of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus of Nazareth, Yeshua. Glad you could be here. We appreciate you going into this 10th year. Big things are coming. Keep us in your prayers. If you want to know how to support, you can support us, keep us on the air, or help us with what we do, supernaturalresponse.net, firefalltalkradio.com. Wednesday night Bible studies at 7 p.m. The Porch. It's dark out there, but we're going to shine the light, and sometimes we're going to go into that darkness, and we're going to deal with the things that are there for the captain of the host. We are the sheepdog of the great shepherd. I'm Richard Grun. On behalf of Joe Citrone, SRT, this has been Reflections in the Dark on Firefall Talk Radio.